Yo, what's good, everybody? It's your boy C-Mo, aka C-Mo Sports, and this is Mo Sports TV, July 20th, and we got a super special guest, former Seton Hall and Monmouth University superstar, NCAA basketball superstar, Shavar Reynolds Jr., man. It's going to be lit. We got a good 15 to 20 minute interview with him, and we're going to get into some NBA offseason rumors, and we're going to break down the all-star break with the base with MLB, and we're going to
got some football talk.
We're going to transition to a little bit of NFL. We're going to hop crazy into NFL starting next week, but we'll talk some Madden. We'll talk some Madden ratings just to get warmed up a little bit. All right. So I'm with my boy Matt Chi. Ja Cal will be here a little bit later. And let's get my boy Shavar in here, man. Let's get him in.
Sir.
Let's get him in. And anybody got questions for Shavar, let us know in the comments. Say what's up. Holla at us. You're Shavar, what up, baby?
Yo, what's going on, bro? Appreciate you.
How you doing, brother?
We blessed. Let's see it.
Blessed to be here. Speaking of blessings, my boy, congratulations on your overseas contract out in Netherlands, man. Clap it up, man. How do you feel about getting that overseas contract with Feyenoord Sportando?
I'm excited, bro. It's gonna be different. It's gonna be
for sure.
Life, close that last chapter of the book. Ready for the next step, though. Definitely excited just for the whole experience. And just ready, honestly, play again, honestly. It's been a while. You start to miss it once it's gone.
Yeah, for sure. When does the season start for that particular Netherlands league?
I think it's October 1st. Don't quote me.
So you're going to be heading out there pretty soon, then?
Yeah. I'll be getting out of here pretty soon.
Very nice, man. Congratulations again. I know that's a huge accomplishment, playing some pro ball. And hopefully working your way up to the big leagues, man. I can see it. You're fucking awesome. So let's get it. Let's talk about some of your college career. How was it going from the Big East in Seton Hall transferring over to Monmouth? How was the level of competition in each conference? Was it harder to go to the Big East to the MAC, or was the Big East harder?
Obviously, it's a gap in terms of athleticism and size, but honestly, like, basketball is basketball in terms of effort, right. Honestly, just going hard. Like the MAC, they play just as hard in terms of physicality. Yeah. It's just as physical as the Big East. So only real difference for me from what I've seen is, like, maybe the talent is a little better in terms of high major, in terms of talent wise, but definitely the athleticism and size, that's the difference between high major and low major.
Okay. How was it? I got one more question before you can ask a question, Matt. How was it playing against St. Peter's, man? I know they were dogs this year, man. were they as rough as it seemed as they were in the tourney, or?
Oh yeah, consistent. Shout out to Shaheen Holloway, consistent.
For sure.
Great coach. He had them ready. They're just disciplined. They did all the little things. They boxed out. They, like you said, they were aggressive. They didn't take no shit at all. They morphed into their coach's identity, and then he got it. He got them going, and at the perfect time. And then, as you see what happened.
The end result definitely resulted. That's for sure.
Yes. Big shout out to them, man. I ain't gonna lie, they earned it. They beat us in the championship. They earned it. They played. Made the right plays at the right time. They hit free throws and they hit big shots. You gotta tip your hat off when you do something great like that.
Absolutely.
So would you say that they were one of the toughest squads you've had to play in your college career? If not, who was it?
You said, were they the hardest to play? Or?
Yeah.
They definitely posed the most challenge at Monmouth, but toughest team I played, you got to go with Nova. Well-oiled machine that you can't. They're going to do the same thing every game, and you know what they're going to do and try to stop it. They're going to be fundamentally sound. They're going to jump. They're going to pro hop each time. They're going to kick it to the corner. They're going to shoot the three. So, like, in terms of difficulty, you knew what they were going to do, and it was still hard to stop. You know what I'm saying? So that system they have over there is just
Super tough, huh?
It's very difficult to beat. And they have the right players. Their players all buy in. Their culture, it's really the culture. That's what it is. Like, I think LeBron talked about that in the shop. I was watching that this morning. It is culture. What you put into your culture, what you surround yourself with, how much people are putting into it, that's what's going to make a successful team. You got all the talent in the world, but if you're not together and you're not buying into what your coach is preaching, what your team preaching, and you'll have an end goal of trying to be a champion, you're just out here playing basketball. So in terms of difficulty, Nova definitely, just because of the culture.
Awesome. So I want to plug you in real quick. Tell me more about your basketball camp, the Shavar Reynolds basketball camp. And do you plan on doing more in the future? And how is that going for you?
100%. Definitely. I do a little bit here and there now, but I'll definitely on a bigger scale soon. Hopefully in the next year or two. Been trying to work on some LLCs. Just really trying to establish my brand as well. Like, the biggest thing for me right now is trying to dominate my area. So
sure. Right?
Ocean County, Monmouth County, everybody, you got to start where, you got to build your foundation where it can grow the best. So right now, my politics are very, very deep within this area. So
right.
Dominate this area first, and then from there, we'll move on. But I got to dominate this area first. But right now, like you said, I'm pursuing that professional career. So that's really my main focus. But definitely having those conversations, trying to talk to more people. Just gain more knowledge. I don't like jumping into things without doing my due diligence on the work. So just doing that right now, talking to people, resourcing, and then hopefully in the future, we definitely will have something going 100%.
I love to hear it. All right. Did you have a tight relationship with Miles Powell over in Senior Hall? How was it like playing with him in games, and how was y'all chemistry?
Oh yeah. Nah, we was very tight at Senior Hall. Very tight. Like, ain't much to say in terms of that court. Like, you've seen it. We all seen it. It definitely, his junior year, he was the best player in the country, in my opinion. I don't think
he was tough.
I was with him on that court, and I seen him give a lot of people work. So, in terms of watching, he was great that year. I enjoyed watching him. He helped me get better so much defensively, offensively, just in terms of how he really took over the country in terms of just with hard work and will, and just having the heart, just heart, hard work, and just willpower, not letting people tell him his story, not letting people deny him. So in terms of that, playing with him was great because I got to witness a piece of college basketball history and seeing all history as well. So it was actually, I loved it. It was great, great experience, great time. And then honestly, and also we was winning as well. Junior year, we did solid, but then after that, we had an historic season that was cut short of COVID.
Yeah. Speaking of winning, I want to bring you back to that buzzer beater against St. John's, man, because that was probably one of your better moments in your career. I would think, you know, that was super clutch moment. What was the emotions like when that thing dropped? How was the couple of days after that? Did you get mad juice off of that? Like, I seen you on ESPN drop it. You know what I mean? So it was, I know you had to get some type of juice off of that thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up?
It was definitely a great time. Great experience. Great time. When it dropped, like I told the story, I told you when it dropped, you don't really have to, it took 10 seconds for me. I think, what was the shot? How much time was left? Like 2 or 3 seconds?
Yeah.
It took 10 seconds for me, or it took a lifetime for me, honestly. I remember the moment specifically, just it felt like everything in slow motion, like exactly how you see the movies is exactly how it happened.
The slow motion, like,
yes, you see the in the air,
yeah,
and everybody just looking at it, and like you could, like my teammate Miles Kill said that he's like, you could hear it, like you could, like the arena went silent,
right?
And just like a movie, like literally there was like, for like, I understand movies now just based off that moment, because it really was that. Once the ball was in the air and like the, it's going in the shot clock, and then like it's like
movie time.
Yeah, literally everything.
But That is fire. I got a fan question for you, big dog. From I Main, do you see the NIL affecting the athletes that you know. So the NIL is obviously, you know, college players being able to get paid and being able to get endorsements and this, that, and the third. Do you think it's going to affect the college basketball game like it's affecting the college football game?
It'll have its positive and negatives because, one, this is a job. I do think we have been taken advantage of. And I even really, like, they try to say, we'll give you a scholarship, you're getting a free education. Don't get me wrong. That's great as well. But what we do plus the school, you will only know if you go through it. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or, like, witnesses or see it. So I'm with them getting paid 100%. Will it cause riffles? 100%, because it's going to get to a point where your star player is making just as much as your coach. So
And that's the influence right there. You know, a lot of players, that's the con, I would say, too, is, you know, players are starting to feel themselves and feel like they're above, you know, the program once they start getting a certain amount of money. But at the same time, everybody deserves to get paid for the amount of money that they're putting in the school's pocket. Yeah, scholarship is great. Yeah, education is awesome. But when you're a Zion Williamson and you're bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars to a school like Duke, and you're only getting a $80,000 a year scholarship, you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't add up, you know?
It's a lot, but it's also, you're giving a 20-year-old tens of thousands of dollars. Mm. So that's where
it's dangerous. That's dangerous.
Yeah. But then again, NBA used to, you know, you didn't have to go to college and you could just come straight out of high school. So in the same scenario, NBA players, you know, Kobe got drafted straight out of high school. Mm-hmm. He was getting that signing bonus. So what would you say to these young athletes that are getting this money and don't know really how to be responsible with it?
I mean, sometimes a lot of them going to learn from experience. You can tell, you can tell as many people as you want. Like there's information out there. They can watch as many How I Became Broke stories out there. But if you don't understand it, then you're just gonna, like, most of the time, what's the best teacher's experience? You never really learn something until you go through it. Because think about it, your mom, when you was young, your mom told you, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. You do it, you hurt yourself. Then you learn from that pain. Usually I think we learn the best when some sort of feeling or emotion is attached to it, because that's when it creates that memory so you won't forget. But like I was just saying, experience, like, You can tell them, like, I know their parents probably, you better save that money, you better put it in stock, all that. They're not going to do it. They're 20 years old, and they got 10 to 20K. What would you do as a 20-year-old with 10 to 20K? You're going crazy. So you can't try to. It's going to be like 0.1%, like 1% to actually take care of the money and all that. But you can. You can't do nothing with that.
Yeah, you throw $100,000 at a 19-year-old.
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, and this kid getting Porsche deals, all types of, like, what do you expect them to do? Like, you think they're not gonna go crazy and have a good time? They're gonna have to learn it. Hopefully, it's not a point where it's detrimental or it ruins them. So, I think NIL has its positives, but it's also gonna be like everything in life. Everything has a positive and negative. It has to be balanced in the world. Everything can be good. Everything can be bad. So, always gonna be some good or bad with it. It's on us to make that choice and discern the differences and discern what's real and what's not and what we need and what we don't. But everyone experience. So you can't really tell a young kid that.
For sure.
Absolutely. You got any more questions, man?
Yeah. So going back to basketball, if you had to give yourself an NBA comparison, who do you think it would be?
I don't think I'm really one person. Some of my friends say I have mannerism and movements like Dame. But I'm a fan of Dame, but I watch so many people that I peek from a lot. Like, for example, let's talk about Dame. So I watch Dame how he works out, then I'm watching his film. His pound dribble to his sidestep is top tier. His shooting, his pace is very good coming off the pick and roll. So I can see how they said in terms of maybe my 3-point shooter, he pounds the ball every time he shoots a three. It's a pound. And I watched the workout. He was emphasizing pounding a dribble. So when I was working on it, I was pounding it the same way. And I could see when he was pounding it, he was getting great separation off it. And then he elevated every time. Even if he was fading, his body was squared. So that's something I took from Dame. I watched, let's see. I watch Chris Paul all the time, just how he maneuvers, how he controls the game, controls the tempo. His mid-range, been doing that forever. His escape right, he loves that. And how he also, when he gets in the paint to like wield off bigger defenders, he fades as well. But his fade is so consistent because he works on it every day. So in terms of that, I watch Chris, watch Dane. I watch Steph in the terms of how consistent his shot is. So I just try to rep that in terms of it's the same every time, the flick, the same. Even if no matter how far he's shooting it, no matter where his feet are, and he always gets squared. And then you also got to pay attention to how Steph moves. So I took that from his game as well, how he just keeps going and going and going and going.
All game, absolutely.
And you can go to, I like watching Kevin Durant because of just the pace and his and how he gets into it. Yeah, I'm not 6'11", but his moves and his pace and how he does it, how he creates the space on that, I like watching that as well. Kyrie, like watching Kyrie in terms of how creative he is and how he always is in attack mode. And also, this past year, he was using the left-hand floater fantastically. So ever since then, I've been working on my left-hand floater, trying to just incorporate that little detail into the game because that's what took him, not even say took him to another level, but it just added a whole other piece that they have to stop. They already can't stop him. So then he added facet. So now he's on a different level now. So that's when you say, like, do I have a comparison? No, I think I take from everybody because that's who they are. I am who I am.
Yes, I like that answer for sure.
Yeah, so we may be similar, but I got my own style. Like, there's things I promise you, you won't be able to do, and there's things I probably won't be able to do to your level. But I know there's some things you won't be able to do my level as well. So in terms of comparison, yeah, we have similarities. Yeah, we may take from each other, but there's only going to be one Shavar Reynolds Jr. So that's in terms of what he is. But I love taking from them. I watch them all the time. They're greats. If you want to be great, you got to study the greats. You got to watch the greats. But you also have to appreciate and give them their flowers as well. They're not there for no reason. It takes time. It takes a lot of work.
Heard that. All right. I got another fan question for you. Aside from a professional career, do you see yourself coaching in the future? Basketball teams.
I've been getting this question a lot recently. I don't know. People said I'm good at it. I don't know, man.
College. What I've seen in your hype video from your camp, it seems like you're a very good motivator and a very good teacher. So yeah.
You compose yourself now, it seems. I mean, at this young age, you know, down the line, I feel like that definitely should be something that you could consider.
No, I probably will, but we'll see when we get there. Like, I really don't know because I don't know. It's a lot of politics, and my whole life, the politics thing is too. We complicate this world, man. We complicate a lot of life, and I'm not with complicating my life. So especially at that point where I'll probably be well off and established, I don't know. It have to be the right situation where I'm like, I'm doing me, and I don't want to hear nothing else because it's too much to balance. Like, I was in the scene. I seen how, like, if somebody's a five-star, you have to play them. Like, I was better than numerous 4 and 5 stars, but, you know what I mean? So I just... Right. Out of that, I've seen what that feels like. So how would I look to be that coach? And now I got to balance my family's life and my family's wealth. And they got this, how we got to eat. But so I got to play him because he's too corrupt. No, if he's better, he plays. If he's not working, he's going to sit. So it have to be the perfect situation in terms of that. But like maybe like high school, AAU probably.
Yeah.
In terms of the politics, that had to be the perfect situation because it's too much. And it's too much in terms of that. It's too much stress and drama for no reason. I don't got time for that. I'm trying to live a happy life.
I feel that because politics ran a lot of my high school and college career, mm-hmm. myself in football. So, like, I seen it firsthand. And politics does definitely run not only youth sport, but, like, all the way up to the pro level, damn near politics. If somebody's getting paid a max contract and he's shitting the bed, and somebody young is coming up working harder and playing better even when he gets his minutes, they don't switch him out because they're paying them too much.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what level it is. You know, even down to AAU, the coach's dad. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's politics at every single level. So I feel you on that, honestly.
It's all over the world, man, politics. It's not about skills, it's about who you know. Even that's when you become great, when you have the skill, that you do have resources and connections. That's what greatness is. And it's great to have some form of connection, or they built it there, and then they already had the skill, so now they really better. Because a lot of dudes really don't know how to hoop nowadays, or it's not really good. Like really, like you can play some basketball. It's a lot of handouts around here. A lot of things not earned. A lot of things given. A lot of handouts around here. But that's what it is. The real always prevail though. So that's
right. That's right. Danny, any more questions?
Yeah, I feel like it's been a trend on most sports TV, so I feel like I'm going to ask Shavar too. I need to hear your top five NBA players of all time, because we've been having some crazy lists. We just had Todd Frazier last week, and he gave us a list without LeBron. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
All time? No order.
No order. It doesn't have to be in order.
LeBron. You got to go Bron. You got to throw Steph in there because he's solidifying that. I think by the end, he'll be top five.
I think so, too.
Because he's changing the game, too. LeBron is just the best basketball player ever. In terms of size, in terms of doing every single aspect of the game, you can't say anybody can do that. You got to throw Michael in there because anybody called Black Jesus is he had the whole world scared, and they called him Jesus. If you read your Bible, you know how serious that is.
And coming from Bird, too. That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So.
We got Mike. You got Mike, Bron, and Steph so far. Two more.
Gotta go to old school guy. So. I like Magic.
Okay.
That's more because I'm a point guard. So I respect you.
Get a big guy in there.
You gotta go. I like Shaq, but I think I'm biased. Yeah, gotta go Kareem over Shaq, if anything.
Yeah, Kareem Shaq is right there.
Kareem was the first person. It's hard, and Kareem, his stats is better, I think, right? I'm pretty sure. Yes. More points. Shaq was just the most dominant though. But I think Kareem probably got him in the long haul. But I don't know. That's a difficult one. That's a difficult one for me right now. That one's a little difficult. And then KD's right on the cusp. These next 3 years are critical to his in terms of if he's in that conversation. He's great. Period. Like we're not questioning none of that. And I'm a big fan, but I gotta keep it thorough on what's going on right now. So
yeah, do you think he stays? Do you think the Nets just are gonna say fuck it and keep him? Or do you think he's actually going to go somewhere this offseason?
I'm confused. I thought in the beginning because I thought it happened already. So it didn't happen. So I was like, and it's been a little while. So I'm like, oh, yeah, it's probably Knicks now. Because I think he was looking at the Suns, which I liked for him. But he had definitely – I don't know how they would afford him unless he took the pay cut. And he don't need it. He just trying to get a ring and respect. So that's what it's about. He ain't really – like, you don't need money at this point. You good. You trying to establish your life. Love, and you got to appreciate Kevin Durant because he loves basketball. Like he's a true hooper. So in terms of that, he's not faking it. He stays true to himself, and I love that part of him. So in terms of that, I think they end up staying, especially this long now. I don't know who's gonna make a move, and you got to also afford him as well.
Right, there's not a lot of teams that actually can afford him.
That's where,
as far as picks, as far as young assets, and all stars in general. You know, the Suns could, but. Them re-signing DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, that's
that just made it super hard for them to make that trade now.
You have to take like $9 million or something, like something light. Like he would, like he doesn't, he could do it, but it just depends. So
we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah. I was convinced before, but now I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't know either. It's going to get interesting.
It will be
the next couple of weeks with the NBA. There's a lot of trade things going on. We'll see what happens. But you got any more questions, Matt?
I did that wraps up my list.
All right, it's been about 23 minutes. We held you a little bit longer than hey, but it was great to have you, my boy Shavar. I appreciate you for coming through, man. You were great, man. And I wish you the best of luck in Netherlands, man. I'm gonna be rooting for you. Mo Sports got you no matter what. Any type of anything you need, brother, we got you, man.
I appreciate you, bro. Thank you for having me, y'all, man. Y'all be safe, man. Keep doing what y'all doing, bro.
Absolutely, man. Same to you. Yep. Thank you again, Shavar Reynolds Jr., college legend. What the hell? You pressing the wrong button, bro. All right, bro. I appreciate you, man.
You good.
The first time Matt wanted to press a button, he going to press the motherfucking magic fairy wand for Shavar Reynolds. It's clap it up. Yellow's for clap it up. right, man. That was a good interview, though, man.
Yeah, that's hype, bro. Netherlands got to be fire, bro. Overseas basketball is different. It's so exciting. Like, if you're a real basketball fan, I definitely recommend you check out some basketball from overseas, because the style, the gameplay is just, it's different from what we see in the NBA, and it's really like, knowing how hard of a worker Shavar is, he's really about to thrive and really change the way his game is played. So I'm excited to see what he does over there.
I'm super excited to see what he's going to do as well. You know, Netherlands, it's a different place. It's a different part of the world for sure. It's all the way damn near by Australia. You know, he's got plenty of opportunity to kill it in that league as well. Hopefully he can move up to some, to either the NBA or to a Europe league. Maybe we'll see what happens, man. I really believe in Shavar, and I really think he's going to turn it up in the pros, man. So clap it up again for my boy, man. That was awesome. Let's hop into some NBA rumors. I know we just touched on Kevin Durant a little bit with Shavar. Let's talk about our guy, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
His name is not Spider no more. It's about to be Spider-Man, because it's looking like the Knicks and the Jazz are locked in into some heated trade back and forth.
Yeah, this is getting juicy.
It's getting big.
It's a cold war right now, truthfully, out here between the Knicks and the Jazz. Leon Rose and Danny Ainge are both just standing stiff, truthfully. So rumor has it. Thank God it isn't here, because that would have been bad. But rumor has it is that they both know that the Knicks have the best offer out there. So basically, we heard a rumor yesterday surface that the Jazz were exploring elsewhere. And that is basically because Danny Ainge knows that he received the Knicks' final offer and they don't want to add in Quentin Grimes. That's basically what it's coming down to. Hearing that it's Fournier, Reddish, Miles McBride, and then ultimately six first-round picks. Now, the way it's broken up, two of those are going to be protected. One of them is going to be in the top five protected, and then another one of those is going to be the pick 2027 pick swap, I believe. And that's the Knicks' offer on the table right now.
That's crazy. Honestly, that's kind of a low ball.
It is.
But here's the thing. Nobody else can beat that offer right now. Nobody can beat the offer. Leon knows it. Danny Ainge even knows it.
And it gets them that coveted, because Danny Ainge is really looking for that historic pick haul, right? Like, he got it from Rudy Gobert. He got those five picks. So right now, that covers that six picks for the media. And Danny Ainge, like, knows that, damn, like, I kind of got a little lowball. Like, you know, that's not as much as he could have got if he traded Donovan Mitchell first.
Yeah. And what makes it even worse is that Pat Riley took his hat out of contention for the Donovan Mitchell trade to focus on KD. So that completely took all of the Jazz's leverage right there. That took Danny Ainge's leverage all the way out the window. So now the Knicks are just sticking firm to Fournier. What'd you say, McBride and Reddish?
Reddish with
Does that even match salary, though?
It does, because Fournier makes about $21 million a year.
Yeah.
And then Reddish makes, I think, $9 million, and Deuce makes about $4 million. It covers. I saw Ian Begley. He had packages it was a Fournier-based package and then a Derrick Rose-based package, but it's looking more and more that they want Fournier. Or, I mean, truthfully, they can go the Rose route and then flip him for the same deal that the Knicks got him for, essentially, from Detroit for two first-round picks. So, I mean, either way, take what you want of those two. It doesn't really matter to us. We'll just take Spider.
I won't even be mad if they take Fournier and Rose. I'm surprised that Rose is being left out of this right now. But I guess Tom Thibodeau wants to keep his guy. He wants to keep a veteran presence in that guard area.
Yep.
So I would see why they would want to keep Rose. They need an old head. Rose ain't even really an old head like that. He is, but he isn't. He's just a wily vet that can help tutor Brunson and Spider.
Exactly.
You know?
And quickly
and Grimes. Exactly. So
the Knicks are going to be able to keep their core. Like, from what it's sounding like, the Knicks could keep their core and still get Donovan Mitchell, just being that they've been stacking assets. And they know, like, the Jazz and Danny Ainge literally have their back against the wall, because nobody else in the NBA, like, everyone's waiting on Kevin Durant or doesn't have the assets to trade for Spider.
Yeah, and honestly, even if the Kevin Durant goes through somewhere, which I don't know if that's going to happen, Danny Ainge is just going to lose more and more leverage, in my opinion, as time goes on. Like, if as long as Leon stays strong, I mean, I can't really see a situation where Leon comes off of it and is like, okay, you could take Quickly. Okay, you could take Grimes. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see, I can't see that situation right now until there is an actual suitor. Now, mind you, let's not give, you know, Danny Ainge is the fleece master. All right. So don't be surprised if Danny Ainge makes a phone call to one of these teams and tries to pump fake an offer.
Yep.
And try and pump fake to the media. Oh, this team is interested now, and they might throw this package together. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, the Knicks will see through that. And ultimately, we'll see what happens. Honestly, I still won't be mad if we have to give up Grimes or Quickly in this deal and make it only 5 picks instead of 6 and make it grow Rose, Fournier, Grimes. I wouldn't be mad at that. That's still an excellent team. That's still an excellent team to me.
Yep.
That's still an excellent team. I still think that's a playoff-bound 5-6 seed team in the East.
And they're going to keep their depth at that point. Like, at that rate, it's looking really like the Donovan Mitchell negotiations are just really based around Quentin Grimes right now and whether or not, like, Leon Rose wants to give him up. And, like, there's no reason that he should. Like, he's literally just staying strong and being patient. And it's seeming to work thus far because we're seeing – the Jazz now going and turning to the media, hoping that, you know, somebody else leaks a rumor, drops in, you know, maybe that they'll give up somebody like a star is rumored on the block that is better than anything the Knicks can offer. But nobody's going to do that right now. And it's really quiet out here in the NBA.
It's yeah. Danny Ainge is like SpongeBob and Patrick inside of Sandy's house without a fishbowl on their head. You know what I'm saying? He's just drying out. It's just getting drier and drier. And I just don't see another team hopping in the ring because every team knows if they really wanted to try and bid with the Knicks, they can't.
Yep.
We got the picks.
Exactly.
Nobody has picks like the Knicks right now. And honestly, I can't wait till this deal is finally done, regardless of what happens, honestly. But I want if I'm going to say if just because we're on air, but it's really when. But if Donovan Mitchell comes to the Knicks and we keep all of our guys, there's going to be some shit to be talked. I promise you that right now.
Yep.
I'm going to be very ignorant. You're not going to be able to like me. You might just block me.
Yeah.
Because I've endured a lot of shit this offseason. From my own fans, from my own people.
Ed.
Especially Ed. Ed's going to get it the worst. I promise you that. Ed's going to get it the absolute fucking worst when we get Spider. When I've been telling him all along, this was the plan. And to just trust me, we fucking suck. Our front office fucking sucks. Why would we pay Jalen Brunson an average point guard salary? Why would we trade back for net 3 first round picks? It doesn't make sense. We're going to be so bad. We're a play-in team. Shut the fuck up, okay? Let's see what happens.
Yep.
You know what the fuck I'm saying, I mean. You know what I'm saying, bro. You feel me, dog?
Yeah, I mean.
Motherfucker's been talking shit, bro, about the Knicks all offseason. And if we pull this off and our starting five is
Brunson, Spida, RJ, like.
Potentially Randall Robinson, or it could potentially be Obi Robinson. Now, let's get into Russell Westbrook real quick, because I've seen reports about if the Knicks do get off Spida. And we do get Spider, there is a potential Randall for Westbrook in the first pick swap to the Knicks, where the Knicks would buy out Russell Westbrook and Russell Westbrook will become a free agent, which would alleviate our cap room for next season for a real star to bring on top of everything else that we're doing. It could get real fucking scary after this year.
Leon the Don.
Leon Rose Masterclass. Is that work? I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. Leon Rose is a competent front office guy, and he knows what he's doing.
And it's crazy because you would think, like, we're just sitting here talking about the Knicks because we're Knicks fans, but in reality, there's nothing else going on in the NBA.
There's nothing.
Leon just playing fucking chess with everybody. Like,
there's nothing going on in the NBA offseason except for this Donovan Mitchell trade. So, yes, we're Knicks fans and we're talking about the Knicks, but guess what? It's the only thing to talk about in the NBA right now. But one thing I will talk about, since I'm a biased Knicks fan, and there needs to be some exposing going on. This is James Harden so-and-so pay cut. All right, let me get into that real quick, Sixers fans, because the media has been eating Harden's dick and Philly dick all the past 2 weeks. Oh, Harden's taking a pay cut so his team could go to the championship and we could get, so they could get more players and this and that and this and the third. All right, let's break it down real quick. So Harden has gone from a 1 year, $47 million contract, correct, to a 2 year, $68 million contract with a player option for the second year, meaning that not only does Harden have the power after this season to stay an extra fucking season with the Sixers, especially if he's a bum, which he was last year. For, I mean, he wasn't a bum, but he wasn't, he's not the Rockets Harden. He's definitely like the Nets Harden. All right. This guy literally took $13 million off of the table this year to guarantee himself a second year. He guaranteed himself a second year with the Sixers now. The Sixers are officially stuck with Harden after this year because of that. And he only gave up, I mean, he's getting more money. Like, he's only giving up $13 million this year, but at the end of the day, he's getting more money in the long run. So did he really take a pay cut? Did he really take a pay cut to get PJ Tucker for this year? To win a championship? To get PJ fucking Tucker? Are you fucking kidding me? Philly needs to... Media needs to get off Philly's dick. Media needs to get off Harden's dick. Harden and Maury just finessed the media real
just
quick.
Just finessed the entire media. And his deal ends when that new TV deal comes around. So he's going to be able to come off fresh off into free agency right in time for that cap space to get increased by about 35%. So whatever team he goes to, he's going to go try hard in that last year, next year. He'll probably be a fat lard this coming season, you know, regular Harden stuff. And then this next year, he's going to come around in that contract year, and he's going to show out in the regular season.
And then he's going to get a max.
He's going to get a max deal and just shit the bed wherever he goes.
I can't wait. And I made 2 years, $68 million is a pay cut for this year. But guess what? If he didn't take the pay cut, the quote unquote pay cut, there wouldn't be a second year of basketball. There wouldn't be a second year of $30 million more. He's getting paid $21 million more in an extra year on his contract. That's not a pay cut, bro. Just because he's getting less money this year coming up doesn't mean he took a pay cut. But the media sucks dick. Woj sucks Philly dick.
Yep.
I remember Woj going hard for Embiid for MVP, going crazy for Embiid for MVP. Philly and ESPN love each other.
We need to open our eyes as, like, I want everybody in the Facebook group. There's so many of us out here that need to really just realize that there is a lens over the media in all the information. Like, it's across the board in the NBA. The media gives out this information that is basically propaganda for players. Like, literally, they're promoting this as a Harden pay cut. Everyone is going to forget the fact that he just completely shit himself in the playoffs this past season. And then they're going to go into this next season like, oh, James Harden, like, what a great guy. He's, you know, trying to build for Philly. Like, they're going to put
Peyton
as the superstar when he didn't do anything, literally anything. And it's just because him and Daryl Morey gave the information to Woj, and they basically said, hey, we're going to give you this information. Just make sure you put it out with this kind of spin on it to paint us as the good guys going into next fall.
And I'll just reiterate what Matt just said. These agents, these executives, they paint a picture for Woj. They paint a picture for Shams for the information. Look, Woj, if you want this information, Woj, you're going to have to say it this way, Woj, so we look good, even though we're not doing good, Woj. Really, Harden took $13 million off of this year to get an old-ass P.J. Tucker. Now, don't get me wrong. P.J. Tucker is a great defensive player. He's a good two-way player. He's a dog. He's going to be good for Philly. He's a Philly type of player. And honestly, it's a great pickup for Philly. It's not going to take them past the second round where they've been stuck at. I promise you that. And honestly, the way the East looking right now, they might not make it out the first round this year. because everybody in the East got better, pretty much. Especially if KD and Kyrie stay in Brooklyn. I'm telling you right now, the East got better.
Yep.
Deontay Murray went to the Hawks. You know what I'm saying? Like, the East got better. Donovan Mitchell about to come to the Knicks. Jalen Brunson went to the Knicks. The East about to get better.
Yep.
So
I have a perfect example.
The Sixers not even guaranteed to get out the first round this year, in my opinion, now.
No, definitely not. And I have a perfect example of this kind of spin on the media. So Memphis Grizzlies, what is one thing, you know, we've come to learn about them as a team?
Oh, shut up. Shut up, I mean. Shut your mouth, I mean. I told you he didn't take a pay cut. If you're getting $21 more million on your new contract, that is not a pay cut, bro. Sorry, bro. Just because it's backloaded doesn't mean you took a pay cut, bro. Just because you're taking $13 million less and it's getting backloaded on an extra year does not mean you took a pay cut. That means you got a pay raise, brother. That's a pay raise. $21 million more dollars on your contract is a pay raise, bro. Keep going.
Yeah. So I got an example of basically what we're telling is that, like, the media spins all these narratives. So we know Memphis is, like, coming to be this new team that everybody really loves and stuff. Like, I guess because Ja Morant and all the hype, he's an exciting player. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But right here, you have a tweet from from Woj that basically says an undrafted guard has agreed to a 3-year, $19 million contract extension with them, and then goes on to say, the undrafted guard out of Purdue is coming to make $30 million a year in earnings and will be on his contract through the 26 and 27 season, and then ends it with his agent tells ESPN. Like, that tells you right there. His agent tells ESPN. Another one about the Spurs. The Spurs claimed Isaiah Roby on waivers. Source tells ESPN. And then follows that tweet up with his stats. He averaged 10 points on 51% shooting for the OKC Thunder a season ago. Roby, who's 6'8", was the 45th pick in the 2019 NBA draft. Like, who gives a fuck, bro? This guy is nobody going to a team that's nobody. But why? Because that source that told Woj said, hey, Spurs are claiming my guy, Isaiah Roby. Just make sure, you know, when you put it out there, he's a 6'8 guy that shot 51% last year.
Or I'm going to give my next story to Shams. And Woj is complying now. I bet you at first he was like, no, give me my money. Shams will never be who I am. Shams will never be this. Shams will never be that. Now Shams is him now. Shams is literally him now. So we're at the point where Woj is taking any type of information that he can get because it's getting desperate. ESPN is getting desperate for insider information. So these agents and these executives are like, look, if you want these stories, Woj, you're going to have to say this, Woj. All right. So it is what it is, bro. You know? Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much what's going on in the NBA. I mean, is there anything else going on in the NBA? Like,
nothing. I mean, I saw on Twitter that somebody tweeted that to Quentin Grimes to make sure he injures Evan Fournier on purpose at practice.
Evan responded. He's like, that's crazy.
He said, damn, man. I love it. That sucks.
Yeah, I know. I know it's a player option, but I promise you, you know, James Harden's going to take that player option.
He wants them.
He's going to take that player option next year for $30 million. He's not going to be able to get a $30 million contract on the free agency market next year. I don't care if he averaged 22-8. He's still not going to he's at that age where he's not going to get that kind of contract no more. You know what I'm saying? So I see him staying in Philly with his guy Morey for another year on top of that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, let's let the media, you know, say what they say. And I can't wait till the NBA season starts, honestly, because I'm tired of talking. I want to see action. I want to see all this offseason wrap up. There's been too many moves. It's too ridiculous. I want to see this Donovan Mitchell trade finish up. I want to see whatever's going to happen to fucking KD finish. So we can fucking know the final rosters for the year and let's go. Like, damn.
Let's rock.
And let's go move on to NFL. Like, damn. Like, I'm tired of NBA. I'm tired of them. I'm ready for some NFL fucking football. I'm ready for some playoff MLB. You know what I'm saying? Like, so shit. Let's get into some MLB. Juan Soto rumors.
He won the home run derby.
Shout out to Juan Soto, man. He's a dog. He's an absolute monster. He won the home run derby. He kind of had a cakewalk to the finals, I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
But wait, I want to talk about the first round of the home run derby. First and foremost, we'll get back real quick to Juan Soto. We'll do the All-Star recap real quick. How the fuck did Kyle Schwarber lose to Albert Pujols in the first round, bro?
Schwarber's a bum, bro. He's gross. Like, I mean, bro, that's Philly for you. I just, anything Philly related, just gross. Like, I just, like, Kyle Schwarber, he hits the ball maybe, I think, 25% of the time he hits the ball. I think it's a home run, being because he only pops out or hits a home run. He's like, he's Joey Gallo, basically, in the National League, just with a little bit better batting average. Like, he's maybe Joey Gallo 2 years ago, and that's what we're coming to see. And he stunk it up. Stunk it up bad.
He stunk it up real bad. And it makes me kind of feel like this was the Vegas way. You know, like, how in the hell? First of all, Albert Pujols only had like 12 home runs in the first round. It was
he was
gas. You could tell he was old. And
he took a timeout 30 seconds in.
Yeah, and it was at the point where they were all clapping him off. Yeah. They knew in their head he lost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Schwarber just went out there and just stunk it up, bro. That's such disrespect to Pete Alonso that they made him the first seed. I get it's the rules. Yeah, oh, the person with the most home runs gets the first seed. First of all, if there's a back-to-back champion,
respect it, please.
Respect it. He's the number one seed, all right? Like, if Aaron Judge, you know, he would have been the number one seed or whoever. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I just didn't like how that happened. Yeah. And Juan Soto basically had Albert Pujols in the second round. He had Ramirez, who had the worst, I'm pretty sure the second worst round in the first round. He had a cakewalk. He had Ramirez, the two out of the three worst home run hitters in the Derby going into the finals. Now, I'm not trying to take any credit away from Juan Soto, but he had to use a lot less energy than Julio Rodriguez and Pete Alonso had to use against each other. Yeah. Julio Rodriguez had 32 or 34. What was it? 31, one of them.
32 with the first round.
32 in the first round and 30-something in the second round.
He
was gassed. You could tell how gassed he was in the finals and how fresh Juan Soto was, you know? And Juan Soto, he wasn't even putting everything on the ball. You know what I'm saying? In the first two rounds, he knew he had it. He knew that he didn't have to use all of his energy. So congrats to Juan Soto.
That was dope.
Julio Rodriguez was amazing, by the way.
It was. It was very weird. I noticed, like, out of everybody kind of at the All-Star game, especially when I was watching the Home Run Derby, I'm like, a lot of people say baseball players aren't athletes. And, like, for the most part, I'm like, nah, but come on, you got to respect baseball players being athletic. But then I watched the Home Run Derby, and I'm like, bro, besides Juan Soto and fucking J-Rod, bunch of these guys are fat. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, they're really out of shape. Like, we're sitting here watching just a bunch of big dudes swinging just wooden sticks trying to hit the ball as far as they can. Like, Kyle Schwarber literally looked obese. Acuna looked like
bad,
shitty, bro.
But like, even like Alonso in the second round, like, there was something wrong with Dodger Beattie? Stadium, bro. And maybe, but we could go back to the dogs. we could talk about the conspiracy of the balls being dudded this year compared to last year, because the balls were going out a lot easier for Alonso last year, a lot easier, and in general for Acuna too, for all the players that played in the Home Run Derby last year to this year, Juan Soto even had more home runs last year than he did this year. What the fuck is going on with the MLB, bro? They always trying to do some sneaky shit, bro. It's weird to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
As far as the All-Star game went, I mean, it was boring. That shit was
Giancarlo
boring.
Giancarlo won MVP. That was cool. Let's go, Yanks.
That was cool. That was great.
Actually, you know, kind of, it upset me a little bit after the, like, hearing that he won MVP, because looking back, I'm like, the betting, if you wanted to put together like Giancarlo to win MVP and Juan Soto to win the Home Run Derby, the proof was really right in front of our face that whole time. Like, Giancarlo's from LA. That's his hometown. Like, he would have put on, like, you know, like, a little thing that you go off of is, oh, he's going to try and put on for his hometown. A lot of people thought he was going to do the Home Run Derby for that reason. So that could have been your reason to pick him for MVP. And then you're thinking, oh, Juan Soto, what is he going to do? You know, a guy that loves being in the spotlight, he's probably going to try and up his value as much as he can, whether it's the All-Star game or the Home Run Derby. And he was an easy pick. I mean, he cruised, like we said, he cruised his way through the home run derby. So I was kind of kicking myself looking back that I didn't put together a little parlay of those two.
I mean, everybody does. Everybody, you know, betting, everybody looks at, oh, I could have did this, or, oh, I could have did that. You know, it's so if I had a, you know, if I had a fifth, I'd be drunk. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, like, if I could, I would, you know, so it is what it is. All right, so let's get back to Juan Soto trade rumors. All right, so there's so many teams that are interested in Juan Soto, the Yankees, the Mets, the Padres, the Mariners, maybe
the Cardinals.
The Cardinals are definitely interested.
Yep.
Who has the most realistic chance, non-biased, to land Juan Soto?
An American League team with the most assets. I think the Red Sox or the Yankees, probably, or the Rays. The Rays are low-key scary. I would look out for the Rays to get them, to get Juan, because they're an up-and-coming team. I know that they're not a big market in the same way that some of these other guys like the Yankees and Red Sox obviously are, but Juan Soto, if they're looking for just a three-year rental somewhat, that could be a sleeper team to look out for, because I don't really think that they want to trade him within the National League. I don't know about you, but I think the last thing they want to do is keep him or give him to a rival, like keep him in that division.
Yeah, that's the only unfortunate thing for me as a Mets fan, because if the Nats weren't in the NL East, Juan Soto would be a Met by now, I would believe already. Yep. With Francisco Alvarez, with all the young prospects that we have, and even the role players that we have that we can give.
Nobody's untouchable when it comes to a guy like Juan Soto. So
sure. And, you know, we got the money to pay him, but so does the Yankees. I think the Yankees have a real shot at him too. Like, honestly, they really do. I like the Mariners as a sleeper to snatch him up. Maybe the Padres are looking at him too. But I really like the Mariners because they got a lot of young guys that they can give up. And I feel like they haven't really paid anybody a huge contract yet. You know, Julio Rodriguez hasn't really gotten paid yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, so Sears hasn't gotten paid yet.
So they're all young guys over there. So, like, if they could land a Juan Soto, that would be scary for the AL, honestly. Yep. So,
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
I have a little bit of a trade package that I saw on Twitter for the Yankees, if they wanted to go after Soto without giving up their top prospect, Anthony Volpe, which is really the most intriguing part of this, because I think, like you said, he would be a Met by now. I agree with that, because Steve Cohen's shown to be really aggressive, and he's more likely than not been ringing that phone multiple times a day. But being that they're both in the NL East, Washington's probably playing some hardball and really doesn't want to give him up to a rival, especially now that the Mets are contending. So from the Yankees, for Juan Soto, you could give up Dominguez, Peraza, Walls, Waldichuk, Andujar, Gil, and Florial. And that meets the requirements of a team's top four prospects and two young major leaguers. So, I mean, and they could also package Patrick Corbin's deal to the Yankees as well to get him off the books. And the Yankees could pay that for this next coming two seasons and still afford to be able to pay Juan Soto when his deal comes up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Vegas odds actually had the Yankees as the favorite. I think they're plus 300, and then the rest are like plus 400 to plus 600. I know the Mets are like plus 600 to land them. Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are the favorites in my mind. But I honestly think they take them completely off the East Coast and just ship them off to a West Coast team. Like I said, to the Mariners. Or like Toronto, or Padres. Toronto could be a move. You know, they got a lot of young assets they could give up to. I don't know if they could pay somebody like a Juan Soto $500 million. You know, so I don't know. It's really a wild card. I really honestly think the Yankees are going to get on them, but it's okay. They're going to lose Judge, so it doesn't really matter to me.
They're probably going to lose Judge anyway. Like, what?
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That? Like, I think y'all are losing Judge. I think y'all losing them. Y'all haven't paid them yet.
Yeah.
Y'all should have paid them already.
They were going to get...
Do like, not
if they
let...
giving him a deal before the season, you know, then it's not going to come at this very moment.
Do not let Aaron Judge go to free agency. If Aaron Judge goes to free agency, you could kiss that ass goodbye. Did you see the interview?
Yeah, I mean, I got two Bleacher Report notifications within 45 minutes. One of them said Aaron Judge wants to be a Yankee for life, and the next one said Aaron Judge leaving in free agency because the lady came up to him like, oh, a fan said he wants you to be a Yankee forever, and he loves you, and he said, just don't be sad if he didn't even say that.
He said there's been plenty of great Yankees.
Yeah, there's been plenty of great Yankees. I hope you're an Aaron Judge fan too. Like, I mean, that's not really saying
nothing crazy.
Like, this guy's coming in here saying they're probably going to lose Judge. Like, are we forgetting that they're the New York Yankees? They could pay Juan Soto and Aaron Judge while still giving Garrett Cole $32 million a year and not sweat it a bit.
You better start fucking sweating it, because guess what? Mr. Cohen has more money not only than Steinbrenner, but every fucking owner in the MLB combined has more money. Okay, so you better start fucking sweating it. If Aaron Judge is not signed by free agency, you can kiss that ass goodbye to Flushing, Queens, because that's worried. Exactly where the fuck he's gonna go. He's not leaving New York. You're right. He's gonna go to fucking Queens.
I'm not worried as a Yankee.
You better
fan,
be
I'm
worried.
Not, I'm not.
You better
worried.
Be fucking worried.
I'm
I
not worried,
you.
And I think they get Juan Soto too. That's the best part.
No, you're not. You're not gonna get both. So like, here's the thing. You're not
Yankees.
You're not gonna get both.
Ooh, a giant. Like, what are they building over there? I mean, I know that he's from like San Francisco, but like, are we forgetting that guys want to win too?
Cohen is going to not be scared to give him $500 million plus. So you better be ready. If you don't give Aaron Judge at least $500 million this offseason, do not be sad when Cohen pulls out $550 to $600 on that ass. I'm telling you, bro.
But
Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be sad.
I'm not. But you don't think that the Steinbrenners and Cashman also know this, though? Like, they've been doing.
They
this
should
for,
know this.
For
but
decades.
This like, deal should have been done. Then. If they know this deal should have been done. Then.
Well, they didn't want to give it to him before the season, and I think they know that they somewhat might have dropped the ball on that. But they, like, it's not as if Aaron Judge just like, he even said he would play on arbitration next season. He said that a month ago. And he said that he would take his contract talk, and because technically he has a player option. He doesn't have to enter free agency right after this year. He could play one more season. So he very well easily we could be having the same conversation a year from now.
How much million a year is he making right now?
Ooh, not much, because he's on like a
rookie
salary.
So what's arbitration really going to do for him? He's not going to go to arbitration. He's going to get that bag. He's going to get that Yankee bag, or he's going to get that Mets bag. He's not going to get no Giants bag. Giants can't afford him. No team in the league can afford a free agent that both of the New York teams want. You can't afford him. It's over.
He's vibing. His arbitration deal is for $19 million right now.
That's dog shit, though, bro. That's dog shit, bro.
He turned down 7 years, $213 million. So that's really last that we've heard of a deal, and that was.
We're gonna try. You already know the Mets bare minimum is gonna try 10 years, $500 million, bro. Bare minimum. That's 50 a year, bro. Compared to 17, what did you just say? 27. That's double of what he would get. He's fuck arbitration. He's going to get that bag, bro. That's a fact. Especially if the Mets are pretty much just as good as the Yankees, bro. They're pretty much just as good. So, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, why wouldn't he? And the Yankees, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. You just better sign him before free agency, bro.
Or else it's going to.
You don't have to sweat. Yeah. That's fine.
I'm not sweating yet. Every day he ain't getting paid is a gamble with injury.
Yeah, that too. And it's a gamble that he's just going to keep going crazier and upping his value in
That's a great comment, and I love that, because just last season, the story was that, Aaron Judge is injury prone when he got hit in the wrist by a fastball. So, I don't know. Subway series in October? Maybe.
It could happen, Dev. It could happen. It could definitely happen. There's some comp, though. There's definitely some comp. Like, we're talking this New York shit, but, like, we're not going to sit up here and pretend like the Dodgers and the Astros ain't here. Because, honestly, I'm more scared of the Astros than I am the Yankees. I swear to God, I am. The Astros are tough, bro. The Yankees or the Mets haven't beat the Astros yet this year. That's a fact. And
we beat them once, not in a series, but...
Just beat them one time, at least? Y'all played them more than... All right, the Mets played them twice, and we lost both games. And
we got shut out for the first 18 innings, and then we hit a walk-off, and then we lost the next day. That was
okay,
we got the
y'all should have lost that second game
by Verlander.
We can't play shouldas now. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. All right, that's fine. A Subway Series in October can happen. And this can, probably
I would love to see it, and it would be best for baseball. No sweat equals left high and dry. I hear that, Jason. I hear that. Yeah, and Astros got the Yankees' number. Do they not? I don't give a fuck if they cheated 2 years ago. They still got their number.
You're lucky Todd's not here because he would give us a vivid explanation of why the.
You know I wouldn't say that in front of Todd, but guess what? I got an Astro shirt right upstairs that I love to wear out in New Jersey all the time just to troll Yankees fans because it's great. It's awesome. Because the Astros, guess what? Even when they're not cheating, they're still just damn near just as good. So, I mean, it is what it is. They're That's a fucking gross. Excellent team. They're fucking good. And didn't they win one before they got caught cheating too? Didn't they win one?
No, they
that was the one. They made it, but they lost.
They were at least a good team beforehand, but it was really the when it all came together was that season because I remember George Springer was
put him over
as a rookie of the ESPN magazine or something like that, or like baseball magazine on the cover as a rookie, and it was basically like, does George Springer turn around the Astros franchise? Or like in a decade from now, where like will George Springer be a star? And that's when he had that MVP type of season. And they cheated, so it doesn't count. And he's a piece of shit. So it is what it is at that point.
I mean, we got an interesting MLB rest of the season. I'm excited.
This is where it kicks up. I mean,
this is where it counts.
Now,
you know,
it's all about
the Mets. The Grom actually got delayed another 2 or 3 days from his comeback. So now he is officially going to come back against the Yankees in the Subway Series. So it's going to be a 2-game series.
Will it get delayed again? We shall see.
No. He's coming back for the Yankees. And it's going to be Scherzer and DeGrom, 2-game series. Let's see what you do. Let's see what y'all motherfuckers do then.
Okay.
In City Field.
We had two All-Stars go
in City Field. And we get
LA
McGill
well.
Back. And we get McGill back for the Yankees, too.
Ew,
so
like, that matters.
I mean, actually. What?
And you're only starting two.
Bro, McGill. Here's the craziest part. Like, McGill has the potential to be better than damn near all your players on your fucking pitching staff, bro. Like Nestor Cortez, like
All-Stars.
He had a great Nestor Cortez had a great first half.
So what are you
but
saying?
But that nigga's a goofy, bro. He's not even like that to me, bro. He's not like that to
but
me.
But McGill
bro.
Is because he had a nice first half.
McGill is a dog, bro. He's young.
Because
he's a young
he
boy.
Had a good first half and not as good as Nestor and then got hurt.
I mean, it was right that, there. It was right. It was right there before he got hurt.
Okay, and Nestor was there the whole time before the first
bro,
half.
Bro, Nestor ain't like
Nestor's
that, bro.
Been here.
Nestor's not like
Nestor's
that to
been
me,
here
bro.
The whole first
Nestor,
half.
Nestor does not scare.
Who's your NL and AL MVPs? It's Judge Machado right now. Manny Machado's hitting like 30 something. It's fucking insane.
It's Judge and Alonso.
What's Pete's overall batting average?
High 200s.
I don't know. I think Manny Machado.
He's leading in RBIs. He's leading in home runs, I'm pretty sure, over Machado. So, yeah, I got Alonso. I mean, that's just a biased Mets fan in me, but, I mean, it is what it is.
Machado's been playing crazy. Nobody even expected it of him this season because they haven't even had Tatis.
Yeah. Machado's really yeah. Good. It's gonna be an interesting one for sure, man. I can't wait for the second half, man. I like Machado too, though. Ohtani and Goldschmidt, no. I mean, Ohtani doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it over Judge. He really doesn't. Goldschmidt had a great first half, but didn't he get hurt? Didn't Goldschmidt get hurt? Or
yeah,
like he started falling off a little bit towards the All-Star game.
He's at 326 right now.
Machado?
Goldschmidt.
Goldschmidt, no. He was red hot fire. For like a 20-game stretch, he had like 10 home runs and like a crazy amount of RBIs. But yeah, I feel like both Machado and Goldschmidt weren't as crazy in the last 10 games before the All-Star break. Alonso has been consistent. He's the RBI leader. I'm pretty sure he's the home run leader as well. And guess what? The Mets are the winning leader in the NL. So far, I got Alonso, you know, so. What about Cy Young, though? Who do we have so far? And that's a great... I mean, I can't give it to any of the Mets guys because they've all been hurt. Scherzer's been hurt. DeGrom's been hurt. McGill's been hurt. I can't give it to any of the Mets guys.
AL Cy Young right now. Martin Perez, for a guy that's on a really bad team, he's been absolutely outstanding. I'm pretty sure he has like a 1.2 ERA. Shane McClanahan, even though he got Judge carrying the offense. Oh my goodness. Have we not seen Matt Carpenter hitting like 400 with 40 RBIs in 30 games with 15 home runs? Like, come on, man. How could you say Judge is carrying the offense when the Yankees just put up 25 runs in 2 days against the Red Sox?
Well, I mean, when you play on a little league's a field, you know, it's not Remember hard
Todd
to hit a home run.
The same dimensions everywhere else. Todd said he doesn't want to hear no short porch.
All right. You keep going back to Todd. Todd is a fucking Yankee fan, Matt. All right. Hey, he's a biased Yankees fan, too, Matt. Guess what? Newsflash. He's a Yankees fan, too. So, yeah, he's going to, you know, support the Yankees, too. Like, come on now.
He said that wasn't an insult. What do you mean if he's carried? The Judge has been in a serious slump. His batting average has dropped a lot. I mean, yeah, going into the All-Star break, he was definitely getting like colder, but that just shows you that the Yankees offense is beyond just Aaron Judge right now. And that's what's made them so good this season, that it's not all about the home runs. It's that these guys are hitting, getting base knocks, you know, getting those runners in scoring position. They're stealing bags. They have a guy like Keiner Falefa who could score, you know, from second base on a base knock. They just got Tyler Wade back now. So you got guys on the bases that are showing you speed. So it's interesting. This Yankees team is a little bit different than we've seen in the past few years. That's what's intriguing.
They are, but I do see a little regression. Because that was just unbelievable. I mean, like you're 64 wins. There's got to be some point where y'all take some type of losses. You know what I'm saying? The Mets had a point of time where we were all injured and we had to go on that West Coast road trip and we went 500 over 15 games when we had to play the Astros, Padres, Angels, and a couple other super hard teams during that stretch. Yeah. And that's why we're only at 55 wins. But I still believe the Mets are the best team in baseball. I don't give a fuck what anybody got to say. I don't give a fuck about any Yankees fans or what the fuck they got to say.
The worst
because
Yankees
when we're healthy, we're the best. And that's it.
With the asterisk of when we're healthy. But the Yankees' worst stretch this season is 23-8, which is just fucking insane. That's their worst stretch of a like 31-game little span, and that's if you take it so you could get the most losses out of it. I saw that tweet earlier today. Just insane season, which is why like, oh yeah, sure, like I guess if you want to put it statistically, a regression is like
imminent. Statistically it's inevitable for the Yankees to start taking some losses. That's all I'm trying to say. I think the Yankees are as good as advertised. I really do. I think they're a fucking great team, and I think they are the AL favorites. Them and the Astros are 1A 1B, but y'all going to take some losses eventually. And honestly, bro, the AL is fucking dog shit, bro. It really is, bro. You're not going to sit up here and tell me that the AL is good. You're not going to sit up here and tell me that.
I mean, the same amount of
I don't want to. I really.
The AL
no,
East is
no,
stacked.
No.
The AL East is stacked.
No, the AL is dog
wins.
Shit, bro. AL. I'm not saying the AL East is dog shit, but the rest of the AL is fucking dog shit, bro. And do not tell me the NL has just as many bad teams because they do not, bro. They do not, bro. They do not, bro.
So we're going to ignore the Diamondbacks, Rockies, the Cincinnati Reds, the Cubs, and the Nationals.
Okay.
Okay.
Now let's go to the AL.
And then you have.
Let's go to the AL.
You got Oakland.
AL has a whole division that's dog shit. Like a literal whole division that's dog shit.
What are we talking about? The Central? Because they all, like, these are three teams with 45 plus wins, too. And then it's Detroit and Kansas City. And then Oakland. Those are the worst teams in the American League.
Oakland stinks. Royals stink. Detroit stinks.
Three.
White Sox stink. Guardians stink. I don't give a fuck if they're over 500. I don't care. They stink, bro. They fucking aren't good, bro.
The Giants
Orioles aren't good.
Then in that case, do the Giants
stink? The Giants don't stink, bro. Because you know the Giants are going to kick it up in the second half. You know how the Giants play. You know what the Giants are about, bro.
Philly stink,
bro. Yes, they stink. They could be six games above 500. They fucking stink, bro. Harper's out for another 6 weeks. They stink, bro.
Because, like, in my mind, Miami's sitting there with 43 wins, and I'm telling you, Miami doesn't stink.
No, they don't stink as much as they used to last year. They still fucking stink, bro. They're just better than they were last year. Nationals stink. Pirates fucking dog shit. Cubs dog shit. Reds dog shit. Okay, I'll give you that. But the NL West is tough.
The NL Central is awful. awful. Like, you're talking about an American
League. Bro, the AL Central is dog shit, bro. So the Twins are winning the division. That is a dog shit.
Which one's
all
worse?
Five
which one do you
teams
think is worse? AL or NL Central?
AL. AL. All day long. AL. All day long. The Twins are dog shit, bro. The Guardians are dog shit. I don't give a fuck if they're six. They played each other the whole fucking first half. They're not a good. It's not a good division to me, bro. Them boys stink, boy.
They're all really bad. Both central divisions.
The Yankees been beating up on a lot of dog shit teams, bro. Like, I'm not going to sit up here and try and, like, finesse.
How does this
finesse
come back
Yankees.
To the Yankees beating
that's,
up on
that's
bad
the
teams.
Whole point. The AL is not as good as advertised, bro. They're not that good to me, bro.
I mean, a plus 200 run differential is going to beat anybody.
Yeah, for sure. In the Little League's right field, for sure. So... All right, let's move on.
I mean, we got NFL. We're about to talk NFL. We got an hour. We're about to hit an hour, 15 minutes. We're still talking NFL. We'll talk Madden ratings real quick.
We're going to talk the wide receiver Madden ratings. There was...
It was scary.
It's a little scary. So Devontae Adams was in the 99 club. And Cooper Kupp is 98, and me and Matt both believe that Cooper Kupp deserved that 99 over Devontae Adams. I don't think Devontae, like, I think Devontae Adams is going to continue to be a great wide receiver in this league. I think him and David Carr have a connection going all the way back to college, and I think they are a pass-happy offense, and I think Derek Carr is going to sling that rock to Devontae Adams. Don't get me wrong. But David Carr ain't fucking Aaron Rodgers, bro. I don't give a fuck what y'all talking about, bro. There's going to be regression from Devontae Adams this year. But Cooper Kupp, on the other hand, bro, we don't even know if he's hit his ceiling yet. We don't even know if Cooper Kupp has even hit his ceiling.
Well, actually, playing devil's advocate, is that a good point to make him a 98 then? Because you could always bump him up one more.
I just think he's straight up the best wide receiver in the league right now.
No, I agree.
I think he's straight up, when it comes to everything, all-around player. He's got the best quarterback to throw to him, the best chemistry, that white-on-white connection. Come on, bro.
Mayonnaise.
Woo! I'm telling you, Cooper Kupp is the best wide receiver in the league, bro.
Yeah. I thought it was a little weird that they gave Mike Evans a 92 and Justin Jefferson a 93. And I'm taking Justin Jefferson over Mike Evans.
I am now, too. I am now, too.
Jefferson deserves to be a little, like, a 94, 95. You got Stephon Diggs at 95 as well. DeAndre Hopkins, 96. Tyreek Hill, 97. And then you get into Kupp, 98. And obviously, Adams, 98.
And honestly, like, Tyreek Hill is going to see a regression in receiving yards this year because of Tua.
He's got a fucking flaccid arm.
But Tyreek Hill is going to have more fantasy points this year than he did last year on the Chiefs. Why? Mike McDaniels is the offensive coordinator. Who did Mike McDaniels unlock last year in San Francisco? Deebo Samuels. Mm-hmm. They're going to use Tyreek Hill.
He's going to have more total yards.
Yes, yes. Tyreek Hill is going to have more total yards this year on Miami than he did on Kansas City, but he's going to have less wide receiver yards than he did in Kansas City because he's going to have Tua, the bum, throwing to him. He's going to have to take screens and slants and drags instead of post corners and fades and posts, you know? So.
Somebody said D-Hop at 94 or at 96, I'm sorry, is absurd. I kind of agree too. For the for the end of last season, to put Stephon Diggs below him is kind of crazy to me.
He said everything is may okay in Los Angeles. That was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah, I like Cooper Kupp, man. But what else? Is there any other controversial ones? I'm looking at
I'm looking at the other 99s in case anybody's curious. They got Myles Garrett.
I was just about to talk about Myles Garrett. First of all, where is Watt at? Where the fuck is Watt at?
Well, TJ Watt is outside linebacker, and he's a 97.
Okay. First of all, TJ Watt should be a 99. I don't know how he's the number one outside linebacker, but not in the 99 club. And honestly, Myles Garrett isn't 99 to me, bro. He's not a 99 to me. He's an excellent player. He's a 97. He's a 96. He's not a 99. He don't deserve a 99 club, bro. He was suspended for that was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. When he hit Mason.
That is in itself, he deserves a 99 when he did that.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was fire.
Oh,
Waddle's gonna average like 9 yards a catch last season. Oh, Waddle averaged like 9 yards a catch last season. That's ass.
Yeah, Tua can't extend that ball past 25 yards.
Yeah. You ever see the video of Conor McGregor trying to throw a football? Him and Tua kind of have that same throwing motion.
And you already saw, without pads, by the way, they were working out, and Tua is already shorting Tyreek Hill on fade routes, and that's with no pressure, no pads. No pressure, no pads, and still underthrowing Tyreek Hill. It's good. Ugh.
Yeah, his arm is closed.
I don't know, man. I shout out to my boy Goni, because I was telling him 2 years ago, bro. I was like, bro, y'all don't want Tua. He's like, yes, we do. We want Tua. We want Tua. I was like, no, you don't. You want Justin Herbert, bro. You want Justin Herbert. He's going to sling that rock for you. Nope. Nope. Is there any other controversial?
Not that I was really seeing. Nobody really intrigued me that much as... It was really just that Devontae Adams being over Cooper Kupp that was kind of crazy. In case anybody's curious, just because running backs are such obviously popular.
I got Derrick Henry at 97, right?
Derrick Henry at a 97, McCaffrey at 96, which in my opinion might be a little high as well, considering he's been injured. I might have put him at maybe a 94, 93. Nick Chubb also a 96. Jonathan Taylor at a 95. Over Dalvin Cook at a 94 is also interesting.
Taylor deserves it, and honestly, Taylor deserves it over Chubb. Jonathan Taylor is the best fantasy player going into this year. Even though Matt Ryan is there, and they're going to throw the ball a lot more, and it's going to open up a lot more, Jonathan Taylor is going to be getting
passes.
He's going to be getting a lot more open holes because they're not going to be stacking the box against Jonathan Taylor either. Because now they got to worry about Matt Ryan throwing bombs to T.Y. or Paris Campbell or one of these other, you know, good Colts wide receivers. So I like Jonathan Taylor going into this year as far as running backs is concerned. And also, one thing I want to point out with the safeties in Madden ratings, Tyrann Mathieu is the number one rated safety in Madden at 94.
That's just clout. That's just a name.
The NFL does not have any primetime safeties anymore. They don't have a Brian Dawkins anymore. They don't have an Ed Reed anymore.
That's a good point.
They don't have a... Jamal Adams was the last one to really make fucking noise. And... Oh yeah, Michael Pittman for Indy too, but... Where is the safeties at, man? Where's the safeties at in the NFL? We need a primetime safety to step it up. The NFL is always better when there's a Sean Taylor, when there's an Ed Reed, when there's a Polamalu, when there's a motherfucking, you know what I'm saying? One of these guys, you know?
I would like to see, I'm going to throw him in there with these names, but I'm very excited as a Giants fan to see Xavier McKinney this season.
I am too. I'm excited to see Xavier McKinney, but I'm scared of that Giants secondary. If there's one thing that I'm scared of with the Giants, I'm more scared of the Giants secondary than I am of Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Honestly, I swear.
Yeah, they got a rough.
Because you got a Dory Jackson, you got McKinney.
And the fall off is pretty bad.
And then it's Julian Love. And I don't even, there's not even a solidified CB2 yet for the Giants.
Yeah.
It's either Aaron Robertson, the kid that we got from UCLA. So I don't know what's going to happen with that Giants secondary, but we're here to talk about Madden. We're going to hop into the NFL for real next week. We're going to dig deep into the NFL. We got some NFL previews going on next week. We're gonna get active starting next week. Yep. We'll probably not have any guests for the NFL previews, and then we'll start bringing back guests in September. Yeah. I think we'll take off.
It's time to talk ball.
It's time to talk football, straight football. I don't want any guests distracting from football and our football opinions and our football clips, honestly.
Yep.
Because I'm a walking clip when it comes to football. You know what I'm saying? But I think that wraps it up. Gettleman, I mean, yeah, I mean, he did fuck this, but Joe Shane, he had a pretty good offseason.
Let the Giants cook, man. Like, let's just
he had a pretty good offseason for what Gettleman left us in. He left us in fucking cap hell. Ruins. He left us with a bunch of fucking bums that we got rid of or we pay cutted or, you know, there's a lot of things that we did. We upgraded in a lot of different areas, especially in play calling and in the defensive front area. We've improved big time in offensive line. We've improved big time. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But, damn. Where did my shit go? Where did my shit go? Uh-oh. Where are we?
Oh, there we are.
There we are. There we go.
Yeah, I think.
Crazy how the Bengals haven't re-signed Jesse Bates yet. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with that. Honestly, I mean, I haven't really did big research into it, but something needs to be done.
Reminds me of how Carson Palmer said, he really can only see the Bengals having success if they're willing to open up their pockets. So who knows? Maybe they're still feeling stingy, even though, you know, after making the Super Bowl, you would think that you would be opening up to spending a little bit more money if it means you're contending.
But that's how you fall off.
Exactly. You just never know with some of these teams and some of these owners. Let's not forget it's a business and they're all about that money. So,
yeah, all 32 teams come back for training camp next week. And so does Moe Sports, the Moe Sports training camp. That's what we'll call it. We'll call it the Moe Sports training camp. And the BFFL is coming back this year. It's coming back next week. There's a lot of shit to unpack next week. And we got some new sponsors on the way. Starting, it might be next week or it might be in August. We'll see what happens. But I appreciate y'all, man. I mean, shout out to y'all.
What y'all think of the new jerseys and helmets?
Ooh, good question. Good question. That's something we could talk about too. All right, so the Giants definitely have some fire. They're bringing back the 80s, 90s remix. You know, it's modern, but they're bringing back the old school design. I think it's absolutely fire.
Yeah, we're back.
I like the Super Bowl field. They're going to have red end zones during these games. It's going to be sick. It's going to look really cool. But obviously, I mean, I told you this earlier today. Them Bengals white helmets is crazy, dog. That white snow uniform, that goes shit is
stupid.
Goes so hard. I can't even
especially
hate on
in
those
some snow games. Coming out, like that's
that shit
fire.
Goes hard, bro. Yeah. The Panthers shit go hard too. I can't lie. The Panthers
they
black helmets
nice colors. So
the Panthers all black on black helmets. I'm so happy the NFL made the decision to let NFL teams have alternate helmets this year. Clap it up for the NFL for continuing to be the best league in the world.
NBA has something to say about that.
No, they don't. The NFL is the best league in the world, and this is why. I mean, obviously, the NBA has alternate uniforms and all types of crazy shit going on, but there's only 10 players on the team. It's real easy to make that switch. But the NFL is the best league in the world. They make the most money. They have the most fans. It's just the best. They got the best system. The off seasons aren't as shitty and all over the place. You know what I'm saying? It's more parody.
I enjoy the chaos of the NBA.
I enjoy the off season, but I don't enjoy it. I think it's very fucking corny, but I like the excitement. I like those 2 weeks where, you know, it's great for business. I'll tell you that. It's great for most sports. It's a lot of clippable shit that goes on during those 2 weeks. But personally, I'm a football guy. I always have been a football guy. I always will be a football guy. Football is my favorite sport. It's my specialty. I know the most in football. You know what I'm saying? So I prefer the NFL at the end of the day. But, yeah, I think shout out to the NFL for – Yeah. No, the NBA is rising, though. I'll give it that. I'll definitely give it that. But it's not the NFL. This ain't that. I'm gonna tell you that right now. This ain't that. But all right. I think that's gonna wrap it up. It's been an hour and 30. I had no idea that we were gonna go this long, just the two of us. But you know, when us two get together, we get to talking for real. Thank y'all for joining, man. I appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all next Tuesday. Next Tuesday. We're back to Tuesdays. We're going to go Tuesdays. Once football season starts, we're going to go Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It's about to get shiesty.
Or Tuesdays and Fridays. Tuesdays and Fridays, I'm pretty sure. I forget the days, but we'll go two times a week during the NFL season. That's another little announcement I'll make. But once again, I appreciate y'all. Mo Sports TV. Let's get it. See you later.